We're honored to have you here. Sabrina Forrest is visiting us. Thanks for One Nation for enticing you to come. Or threatening, Kathy? Was that the word? Okay, thank you.
Creator, we are so grateful. Thank you for the new day in this life, in this time. Please guide us to live by the principle of honoring all people and all life forms. Please help us to become true helpers when we stop judging others. Creator, we are very grateful for the plant and the animal spirits that give themselves up for our nourishment daily, and to the waters for giving us life. Creator, help us to go forward from this day with the good mind and the good conscience to do your will here on earth. Aho, metakiasin, all my relations. Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading today comes from a book by Nancy Wood, her poem, Two Worlds. For us, there are two worlds of being. The first world is the outer world we live in, a shell that encases the body, an attitude that stifles the mind and pretends that money is the measure of worth. The first world is harsh, though comfortable, alluring, though vain. It is the popular world where everyone longs to be, yet once they arrive, they dream of a new direction. In this world, everything costs something, and what is free costs more. The first world is one of wheels and destinations, membership dues and limitations. It is a sanctuary for those who desire conformity in all things. Hear duplicate people wearing duplicate clothes, speak a language without meaning, and think thoughts without substance to their form. The first world is where everyone lives, yet no one actually survives. It is an acceptable address where you forfeit all that you are for what you will never become, and what you are not is what you want those around you to remember. The first world has power, but no strength. It is one of mirrors, but no reflection. In this world, there is success, but no mystery. Goals, but no journey. In this world, boundaries keep ideas from colliding. The second world is the inner world of harmony, where you can go anytime your spirit aches for company. Here you can listen to the song of rocks and leaves, and embrace the wisdom of rivers and essential things contained in raindrops or a flower's belly or the earth's warm breath of spring. In this world, beauty is a companion to mystery. The second world is one of joy and curiosity, a connecting thread to birds and oceans, plants and animals. The second world is one of children's laughter, women's songs, men's stories, the essence that remains long after the experience has passed on. In this world, all circles return. The sacred world is where you can travel on the wings of dreams or the tails of newborn stars. This world is revealed through a rainbow's colored eyes or in a spider's silver road between two leaves, or even in silence, the kind that follows ecstasy. The second world is able to survive without the first, but the first world cannot last long without the second. The second world offers meaning to existence, while the first world offers existence only. Between these two worlds lies reason, the seam that connects one world to another. The second world is yours for no money. The first world is yours for no effort. Which one will you choose? The second reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 26. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it.
So, one of the overarching questions that brought us to celebrating today was, why are we doing this? Why is this important? And I'm just going to remind you of a couple of things that have happened over the past week or so. One, we are a Just Peace Church. That is first and foremost who we are and what undergirds what we do and how we are in the world. And so, when there is a shooting that decimates a congregation of our Jewish brothers and sisters, decimates and murders out of hatred, we have to have the conversations. When there are migrants on their way to our border seeking asylum after walking hundreds and hundreds of miles because where they live is no longer safe, we have to have the conversations. When a statement comes out of our leadership that says rock throwing will be met with bullets and is then tweeted in Nigeria, where that is exactly what happens, as an example of how we should respond to people in need. That means we need to have a conversation. When a yoga studio is shot up because someone hates women, we need to have a conversation. When two African-American grocery shoppers are struck down out of hatred and racism, we need to have the conversation. And all of those are visible. And one of the things that we're not aware of, perhaps, is how invisible those people who were here long before any of us were here have suffered throughout the years. And so we have missing pieces from our own history that we choose not to address or don't even know exists. And so as we enter what is typically known as a month of Thanksgiving, and we'll approach that another day, we have to recognize that we have many conversations that we need to have so that we can all be that one body that we are called to be, that one body that we say we are. And so this morning, in order to give us some sort of starting point on how to have further conversations, we are fortunate to have a contingent of folks who will share their stories so that we may at least start putting some of those pieces together, that we may learn to honor other parts of our body. And so I would like to welcome Kathy Terzi. You can stand. She loves this part, by the way.
I love public speaking.
Kathy, as you may recall, is the executive director of One Nation Walking Together and is actually a covenantal partner here, although I'm not going to give you a hard time.
Oh, no.
She's been busy. And I would like to also re-welcome Sabrina Forrest, who is also a member of One Nation and is here to have part of these conversations with us. And then this other guy who just sort of showed up this morning. Could you stand, sir? Our one and only Mel Druhlinger, who is here, and Judy, who has been our leader. And so I would like to invite you all to make yourselves as comfortable as you can while you are on display in front of the rest of the congregation. And the idea here is to offer stories and questions and start to have a very in-depth and honorable conversation that we don't always get to have. And so let me get you microphones.
I actually have two.
Well, we can share.
Can you share? Okay. And Kathy is sort of moderating this. Her partner in crime, Laura Chickering, could not come this today because she had hurt her back this morning. So without further ado, let me put you on the spot completely.
Claire. Thank you for having us today, and thank you for being here. It's hard to follow what Claire was talking about with some of our questions because, wow, there's just so much to think about with what is going on in the world. One thing that Sabrina and I were talking about on the way here is quite often I go to do different presentations because I just think it's appropriate to share this anyways. And I do presentations in front of congregations despite my love for public speaking, Toma clubs, service groups, all kinds of things, and there's always the one person in back that wants to know, Indians still exist? They're not all rich for casinos and those myths and legends and weird things that non-natives think or uneducated people think. So I thank you, Claire, for offering us the opportunity to have conversation and bring it to light because it might just provide somebody a new opportunity to think outside the own box in which we all live, even though we think we live outside the box. We all have our misconceptions or our own little boxes. And telling stories are so important. YouTube, Sabrina, on YouTube. Okay, nonetheless, some questions that we wanted to talk about, and I think we'll go with the first one, is why storytelling is either important to you, yourself, or to the culture in which you're a part of. You want to take that one first?
Well, I'm a storyteller. And it's kind of it's a big responsibility because you're not allowed to change anything. You can't embellish. You can't leave anything out. It's passed down through oral history, and our stories are to teach good behavior, really, and compassion, and that there are sometimes irreversible consequences for being selfish or boastful or, you know, things like that, cruel. So it provides a context, a consistency among the people of the new generations. And every time you, even though the story is told the same way every time, you'll get something different out of it every time you hear it. We don't, like Rudyard Kipling, the Just So stories, we don't say, and the moral of the story is, because it's up to the listener to figure that out. Wherever they're at in their life in that time, they'll get something different out of it each time. And so it provides a context of consistency of the expectations of behavior and to give thought and to learn to look at things from different perspectives.
First of all, at least to the folks in the congregation who know me, Mitakoye Oyasun. I retranslated what was in the bulletin that you wrote. We all have stories. We all have our own stories, but we have, and we partially create them, and they're partially created for us. But what is important is that. We have a memory of those who have gone before, those who have been wise, and perhaps some who have not been wise, and we learn from these stories. And certainly storytelling is a very important part of Native American culture, something that we seem to be losing a bit in the current times. But storytelling is very important because, among other things, it relates us to not only our present, but to our past and to all of us together.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, Mel. It concerns me that the people of today, we're listening to other people's stories. imaginary stories. We watch TV, a lot of hours of TV, instead of listening to the stories of our family, instead of sitting around and listening to somebody talking about something that they experienced, even that type of history, story, family history. And there's an old African proverb that says, if you want to decimate a culture, kill the storyteller first.
I think one point that was pretty important that wasn't addressed either in the questions was that Sabrina pointed out it's not Native Americans that just have storytellers. I'm not Native. I'm Irish, German, French, Italian, mutt. But I know family history in my family, so we all are storytellers. We all have our own family history. But yet I think some of the misconceptions of our world is we think only the Natives are to be keeping their stories alive. So I thank you for bringing that right up in the car. Well, when we're talking about ethnicity, when somebody first finds out.
Can I say something first?
Oh, yeah.
Here
you go.
Some of you may recognize this. This is a storyteller. And if you've never seen one, I encourage you to come and take a look at it at the end of the ceremony.
Thank you for that storyteller, Judy. I'll love it in my house. I'm joking. When somebody first finds out that you're Native American, and I'm sorry, I love the microphone. Hear your background, and they form opinions about you, or unrealistic expectations, or myths. You want to speak on that one first, or you want to go this way?